We rise. God's blessings to you in every way. Grace and peace be multiplied. Amen. We consider our text, which comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him, saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is God's word. You may be seated. In Jesus' name, who is the servant of servants, the first and the last, dear fellow redeemed. Good customer service can be hard to find. Maybe you're the type of person that pays close attention to the kind of service you receive. Maybe you pay close attention to how well the waiter is caring for your needs and base your tip on his service. Maybe you've had that customer service representative over the phone who can be so frustrating, where you're put on hold, you finally get through to someone, and then they tell you the wrong thing, or they send you back to the main menu to do it all over again. Yes, good customer service always puts the customer first. The word ministry means service. To minister to someone means to serve. To be a minister means to be a servant. We find Jesus using this word in verse 43 when he says, "Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant," your minister. Yes, great customer service always puts the customer first. May the Spirit bless us as we consider what ministry means to us. Ministry means service for Jesus, for your pastor, and for you. Jesus' ministry is all about good customer service. In fact, it's the greatest customer service that the world has ever known, always putting the customer first. We read in verse 45 that word for servant, minister. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Unlike the customer service rep that you talk to on the phone, Jesus wasn't really getting paid anything to answer your call. He wasn't receiving anything to make him serve you. In fact, we don't have anything to give him to begin with. In fact, we owe a debt to begin with to God. If it wasn't for Jesus, how could we ask anything of God? How could we demand him to do anything for us? What do we possess that he does not already have? The Son of Man did not come to be served by us, that's for sure. We read in our text, James and John saying, "We want you to do something for us." Isn't that so often the attitude of our flesh toward God or toward our fellow man, toward the service representative? We want you to do something for us. In fact, it's the whole emphasis of the culture we live in, the media, continuing to emphasize the customer first and we want you to do something for us. James and John were looking for a reserved seat in the heavenly kingdom. Grant that we may sit on your right and left. In the king's realm, this would be the highest position of honor, to be on the right hand or the left hand of the king. It's likely that James and John were still thinking earthly. In fact, they were focused on themselves, what they have done to deserve that seat. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. In fact, just prior to our text, he explains to his disciples what his ministry is all about. He says, "We are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed. They will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles." He came to wash your feet. He came to heal, to pray, to preach, and to die. Above all, yes, Jesus came to meet our greatest need, and that's the burden of sin. This is the great difference between the way of this world and the way of God's world. Verse 42. "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant." We do, after all, call Jesus our Lord, our Master, the King. Yet he did not gain this rule by means of exalting himself over other people. In fact, it was quite the opposite. He became our king by giving himself as a ransom for many. What king would ever do such a thing for his subjects? The word ransom in verse 45 emphasizes a payment that needs to be made, a payment to free a slave, in fact. That's the way the word is used. It's a liberation price, the cost to set someone free. It pictures you in shackles, shuffling behind the leadership of sin, with Satan at the helm, directing you and leading you in everything you do. But in steps Jesus. "Wait! I will take their place," he says. He steps in for the many. The emphasis here is that of substitution. In fact, when it says a ransom for many, it probably leaves it short of the real emphasis because it's a ransom instead of the many. In place of the many shackled sinners that are headed toward death, Jesus stepped into your place. And so with Good Friday just 12 days away for us, we see Jesus journeying to Jerusalem, his perfect life with him, his innocent blood to be given for you, the ransom price for your sins to set you free. Ministry means service. There's a reason why we sometimes refer to pastors as ministers. It describes their job, their calling, their work. Your pastor is not your Lord. He is your minister. He is your servant. Scriptures uses these words like shepherd, overseer, minister, to show that your pastor is here to serve you. Verse 40, to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. So being a pastor should never be about being the greatest, being the most influential, or even being the most appealing. It should be about the office and the work that he's doing for Christ, the service that he offers you in Christ's name. But what does he minister to you? What does he serve you with? The early church faced the same question. In Acts chapter 6, we find the disciples facing the widows of the congregation being neglected. In the daily distribution of food, there was just too many widows, too much work to be done, and too few pastors to do it. The apostle responds, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables or minister to tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And so your pastor also is here for the same thing, the ministry of the word. And if you ever see his service falling short of that, you should remind him of what he's here to do. You've called me here to serve you with the word. And so looking ahead to Easter Sunday, it's the tradition of this congregation to have a brunch. And even though I cook a good omelet, there's even a more important thing that I'm here to serve you with, and that's the Feast of Victory that we will be celebrating in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. That's what I'm here to serve you with. It's the service of the Word, which brings life, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of our Lord, which deals with your problems, your troubles, which comforts you in the midst of any tribulation. You might notice that at the beginning of our service folder, the focus of this service was divine service. In fact, I also called it divine or order of divine service. And this is meant to emphasize something very important, something that we'll be studying in Bible class after Easter when we take up worship. And what we're doing here every Sunday, and what this means to us that we're here in church. And that's that it's not about us serving God, it's about God serving us. Divine service. God is bringing us something in this worship service. He's bringing us something very special. He's serving you. Sometimes we call it a service of the word. That's what I put on the title of the bulletins at the nursing home. Because the word is giving you something that you need. Yes, it's here where God brings us the forgiveness of sins, where he communes with us in bread and wine, where earth meets heaven and God gives to you what you need. Page 15 of the liturgy in the Lutheran hymnal, you often hear me say, "I as a called servant of the word." And again, this brings us back to what your pastor is here for. He's here to serve you with that word. Whether it's in the public setting here, or it's in a private visit with you in your home, that's what your pastor is here to bring you. To let you know that you're not alone in whatever you're struggling with. That you're not alone in dealing with sin or dealing with some tragedy in your life. And that you have a pastor here to serve you with God's word and to comfort you in your problems. Ministry means service. The church is not a self-help group. It is God help that is what we're all about. God did not ransom us back from sin to serve ourselves, your ministry is about service to God. And when you're serving God, it can't help but overflow into serving other people also. John writes in the book of Revelation something, though, that makes us scratch our head. He says, "They sing a new song. By your blood you ransom people for God from every tribe, people, and nation. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." It makes us scratch our heads because if we're reigning on earth, how can God ask us to be serving other people? Shouldn't we be on top? Shouldn't we be the kings? Isn't this what Christ has brought to us, crowned with glory? Again, verse 42 reminds us of how things in God's kingdom are different than things in the world's kingdoms. "It shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant." Yes, so often, like James and John's, we do think, what can you do for me? Whether it's toward God or our fellow man, our flesh is used to being served. When we speak with our spouse, we are often thinking about how our spouse can serve us rather than how we can serve our spouse. We often think, what has he or she done for me first? We often think, I want the other person to do something for me, and then I'll respond with something nice. Or children. If I was to offer the children a free trip to Disney World, but I told them that there was only one ticket, would the child's first thought be about, oh, who can I give this ticket to? Or would it be, I'm excited to go myself? Yes, we want to be first. We want to be first in line, we want to be first to be served, and we want to be first out the door. But it's not about all that. Verse 45, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many." Yes, our flesh leads us astray to selfish thoughts, to selfish ambitions, but this is what Christ died for. He ransomed you back from all your failures to have that unconditional love, because none of us have had it. He has bought you back from all those sins against your spouse, against your parent, against your brother or sister. You are forgiven. You're set free. Now our service takes shape. I have had to think about this when I've advertised our church with different websites. What services are we here to provide? Every good advertiser will emphasize that he is able to provide certain services to meet your needs. What are we here to provide? What is your ministry all about? The ministry of the church is the same as Jesus's. We're here to meet man's greatest need. Paul writes, "God, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That word reconciliation means to be made right. God has made us right with him so that we can share this service with other people. That God is also reconciling the world to himself, as it has said, as it goes on in Paul's writing, "not counting their trespasses against them, and has entrusted this message of reconciliation to us." We are ambassadors for God. Yes, the church is here not just to help others cope or get by, but to help others overcome and truly survive into eternity. That is the service we provide. Not putting ourselves first, but putting other people first as we usher them into the kingdom of God. It's not as glorious as it might seem. By all outward looks, this ministry is often kind of ugly as we deal with a real world, with real situations, which is why Paul writes, "As servants of God, we commend ourselves by great endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in calamities. Jesus points us ahead. He tells the parable of the faithful servant, which calls us to constant readiness as we endure this sinful world that's all around you, pressing down on you. And he says, "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them." That's what's awaiting you. Our Lord, when our Lord returns, he's going to serve you. He's going to seat you at the heavenly banquet table. In fact, he's doing it right now. In word and sacrament, he continues to welcome us to sit at the feast of victory. Great customer service always puts the customer first. Jesus' ministry put us first. Your pastor's ministry puts you first. And your ministry puts God first. In Christ Jesus, your glorified servant.